Welcome to Thoughtfully Mindless. My guest in this episode really needs no introduction, but I'm giving him one anyway. It's Kevin Sorbo, the one and only Hercules. In this episode, we're going to discuss a lot of things. We're going to discuss his political views, his views on many things. So I'm really excited for it, and I hope you enjoy it. And with that,
the door was a lot heavier than I thought it was going to be, Mike.
You used your whole body.
Dad, are you here?
Wait, did you say, sir, did you say Kevin Sorbo? That's Jeremy's dad. It's his biological father.
Ever since he portaled out of the studio, I've been tracking him.
Oh, is that why you wanted to steal this podcast?
I told you that we were stealing a podcast, but I was just looking for my dad, Mike.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, I'm off. Why didn't you tell me? I would have been all gung-ho.
You're so busy and you're so litigious. I don't know. I didn't know what to do.
Kevin, I'm really sorry. I don't know what the hell is going on right now. Who are you guys?
Oh, well, I'm Michael.
I'm Jeremy from Michael and Jeremy Steal Your Podcast.
And we're here to steal your podcast.
Oh, shit. Okay. Now, what's up? Get out of here.
Hey, put those nunchucks down. Mike, what are you doing with those nunchucks? I usually carry the nunchucks.
He looks like he's schooled in the art of nunchucks.
Oh, shit. Oh, God. Wait, hold on. Artie, is that your name? Artie? You haven't told me that. I'm good with names.
It's on the wall.
Oh, it's everywhere.
It's in his underwear,
Artie,
Mike.
Artie, calm down.
Kevin, help. Hercules, help.
Kevin Sorbo can't help you. Okay,
Dad,
I'm so sorry.
Stay out of this,
actually,
father.
Actually, where is Kevin Sorbo?
Kevin?
You guys.
He left. He fucking left. Like he always does.
That's our relationship.
You know what, Artie? That's the way that it goes sometimes. Sometimes you ask Kevin Sorbo to come on. Sometimes you leave him a nice voicemail on his cell phone, and then he doesn't respond to you. So I know how you feel, buddy. Don't worry. Don't cry.
It took me years to land this interview.
I feel you. Well, since he's already gone, and it looks like you are weeping heavily, we should just ask you to scoot away. You know what? Go mourn your loss somewhere else. Go to Dave & Buster's, and then we'll take over. We got this. We have a guest lined up.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to Dave & Buster's. Screw this shit.
All right, buddy. Here's $20.
Mike. I got one of those plastic cards. One of those plastic cards that's got the... So you can play the games?
Jeremy, that has 15 cents on it.
He doesn't know that.
Okay, all right.
You guys said just, I heard you.
I am standing right next to you.
15 cents? I want the $20. $20.
Well, yeah, take the $20. Play some skee ball. You know, maybe you'll meet a nice lady in there.
Fraternizing with the skee ball ladies.
Tell her I'm single. Is it okay if I think about you lately? Oh.
Be safe and sound. 'Cause all your bullshit never did sit well with me. I thought I'd be happy now, but I guess I found out that when you're hurting, well, you're really hurting me. Whoa. Yes, I'll replay the memories inside my.
Welcome to Michael and Jeremy Steal Your Podcast. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Mike.
How are you today?
I'm you know what? I'm doing good.
Nice.
How are you doing, buddy?
I'm alive.
All right.
Yeah. Well, we have on our show today, we're stealing Thoughtfully Mindless, a show that talks to interesting people to get insights about their own lives and what they're doing and things like that. And we have a special guest today, Ed Green. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, everybody out in podcast land?
That's right. So where are you from, Ed?
I am originally from South Texas. I have a little town called Rockport, and I'm currently living in Oklahoma.
Ah, Oklahoma.
I've been to both of those places.
Jeremy has. I don't go anywhere.
I was in Rockport, Texas, not 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
Oh, no way. Right on.
You guys could have gotten bean burritos together.
Is that what you assume?
Classic Texan food.
When you think of South Texas, you think of bean burritos.
Refried bean burritos.
Oh, no, you don't know Rockport. It's all about seafood in
Rockport.
It's
all seafood. Yep.
Oh, really? Yep. Oh, is it on the Gulf?
Oh, yeah.
It's on the coast.
Okay, yeah. It's like an Irish town. Oh, Texas. We're from Texas. We're all scallops.
Me dad.
Scallops and crabs.
Me pa came from Rockport.
And his pa before him.
Oh my God. A little bit of leprechauns over there, eh?
We're here to talk to you about, you've written some interesting books there, Ed Green.
Yeah, tell us about these crazy, spooky books you've written. This book looks very spooky. It's okay, so just to be honest with you, as I'm going through your catalog, I'm like, this guy is either like a super Christian or he's writing horror novels. Which one is it?
I thought it was horror novels. This which, cicadas.
The Ed, which bugs. One is it?
Both.
Oh, is it both?
Oh,
it's a horror. Yeah, it's a horror novel with a cultist, Christian Protestant cultist.
Oh, okay, cultist. The fun side of religion.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you're going to do it, fucking do it.
Okay, so is this one
might
of those...
Well.
Yeah, is this one of those write what you know situations?
Yes, in a sense. I was raised in the church my whole life, so I do have some firsthand experiences of, you know, yes, sir, no, sir, never question the leader.
Oh, okay.
That's what I do with Mike. He's the producer on the show. I'm like, yes, master, whatever you want, master. Yes, I'll say the racist thing. I don't want to, but he makes me. You
it's
know
not
what
true.
I mean?
Untrue. Super untrue. The most untrue, some would say.
Can't make the willing.
So you answered the call as a guest to come on the show. Have you had an opportunity to hear anything that we've done?
I've listened to a few of them so far. And I was like, oh, yeah, I can't turn these guys down. This sounds like a blast.
Right you are.
I hope you didn't listen to the first episode.
The first episode's great.
Yeah, sure. Well, it's great. We got better.
Yeah, but it's still great.
Just trust me. My book, The Blessed Flock, is so out there that I expect the Protestants to be knocking on my door any day now.
I saw, I was looking up your list of work, and I saw The Bed Bugs. I think it's a trilogy.
But yeah, it's for kids. I do have a kids series called Don't Let the Bed Bugs Bite. And it's basically done in a rhyming form to give you kind of like a Grimm's fairy tales, you know, don't go to sleep, watch out for different types of bed bugs. And then each individual, there's three separate books, and then each one has a short, scary story in it to introduce, you know, to indoctrinate the kids into the darker side of life. Come on, boys. Come on, girls.
So this is like Shel Silverstein mixed with Goosebumps.
Yes.
Okay.
You are correct.
Awesome.
A little bit of Stephen King, you know, sprinkle some of that in there.
Oh, God. Some Cujo.
Mike, I was telling you about a joke I had heard about Stephen King.
Yes.
About how he writes 3/4 of the book. He gets 3 acts in, and then he spins a big wheel for the ending. And just whatever it lands on.
Like, alien spider.
It was a big alien spider the whole time.
That's how I felt about Dreamcatcher. I'm like, really? That's the ending? Okay, now.
So what inspired you to start writing? Because based on what we are, our research here, you actually started your career of writing, pumping out these books at a later stage in your life. So what happened?
Just life in general, trying to live, you know, working and 9 to 5, whatever, 12-hour days, and just never had time. And so, like, right now, I ended up having to stop working because I've got arthritis really bad. But what kicked me in the ass was I have a cousin, and she writes those very, very dark erotica books. And I had no idea she was doing that. Until my mom told me she's a writer, and I'm like, no, wait a minute. I'm supposed to be the first writer. So I was a little jealous and a little pissed. And at that point, I decided, you know what, no more excuses. Just no more excuses. Just get off your ass and start doing it.
So did your cousin do dark erotica like Jeremy likes his porn?
Yes, she does. Shades of Grey and all kinds of bondage.
Shades of Black.
Masters.
Shades of Black.
Roast beef.
Roast beef on pumpernickel.
Dress in black. Shades of Grey. Yeah, she goes by AA Dark. And she's probably got over 50 books out by now, if not more. She can be scary.
Just so we can get a clear cut of it, can you promote her book?
Yeah,
her,
tell us about her weird sex books.
Just to get it out there to people. Yeah. My wife would probably love it.
Oh, it is like Shades of Grey, but you've got like threesomes. Foursomes, master slave, bondage.
That's actually my wife's favorite thing is master and slave for some reason. She's black.
Jeremy's wife is black. That's why it's funny.
Does she make him wear the high heels or does she wear them?
Neither one of them, actually.
Actually, we did this. We have this fun idea where we go to the store where she'll be like dressed in rags. And I go like in an all white suit. And like she grabs all the groceries. KFC. Like she grabs.
Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, she grabs all the groceries. Well, I think we need some more milk there, Ms. Nikki. And like she goes and gets the milk, and people look at her crazy and they look at me. And then we switch it up because I'm Jewish. So we take it Old Testament to where she's dressed really nice with like a bunch of gold on, and I dress in rags.
She's never free.
And then she tells me what to pick up. It's a cool sex thing. Your cousin sounds pretty cool.
So do you ever play Chase the Dreidel? Wait, where she throws it down the aisle and makes you go for it?
Jeremy, you're laughing. Why are you laughing?
Yeah, I've definitely played Chase the Dreidel.
What is Chase the Dreidel?
And I'm surprised that Ed Green knows what Chase the Dreidel is.
What is Chase the Dreidel?
Mike, you really don't want to know. We should save that for a Patreon episode.
Tell me right fucking now. Tell me what Chase the Dreidel is. Tell me.
Papa Bear would be rolling over in his grave.
Our Jewish listeners in Israel, you tell me what Chase the Dreidel means, please.
Send us an email.
DM me. Call the show. We'll post the phone number at the end. All right. So tell us. You've written some series. You have several book series. I'm interested in the Cicada stories.
The Cicada series is actually the one big book called The Blessed Flock. Amazon won't let you publish over 550 pages, and it was almost 1,000-page book.
Interesting.
And so I took those. Yeah, so I had to break that 1,000-page book down into 4 separate books. And then there's another set called The Prophet and the Prodigal. And so The Prophet has the first 2 books. The Prodigal has the second, 3 and 4 in it. And then The Blessed Flock is just all 4 of the books.
Oh, okay.
So I realize that a lot of people don't like to read giant ass books. Sometimes it's just too, intimidating. So I thought, well, let's just break it down.
I find that interesting. My favorite book series that I read,
The Bible.
I've read, yes. Yep. Both of them. both of the Testaments. My favorite fantasy book series that I read, each book is 800 to 1,200 pages.
You mentioned this last week.
The Sword of Truth.
Yeah, you mentioned it last week.
Series, yeah. It's actually Terry Goodkind.
Not
Terry Brooks.
Terry Goodkind. I think he writes romance novels.
Who?
Terry Brooks.
Does he?
I think it's like, no, it's thrillers.
He does horror.
Terry Brooks writes The Sword of Shannara.
Yeah, The Sword of Shannara.
The Shannara series.
Yes, the Shannara series. Yeah.
That's why you got confused because the sword.
I like the Sword of Truth series. That's the name they gave it when they The Wizard's First Rule. That series, Terry Goodkind. Uh-huh. But just big books. I just liked diving into like, I'm going to be invested in this for a little while. So that's just one of my
series.
That's fascinating that Amazon. I didn't know they had that cutoff.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
By pages.
Oh, yes, and I get it now because I did for a special edition, The Blessed Flock is in color. It's got color illustrations and stuff in it.
I thought you the text
book,
was color.
That book, just for me to...
like green text.
No, just like the headline, and I threw some stuff in.
I'm sorry, continue.
Yeah, hardbound, just to have that printed for my cost was $49.
Ooh, for one book?
So wow. I had to, that's the author's cost. I had to ask $85 for that book just to make a dollar off of it.
Oh my God.
Ooh. Yeah, so I don't, if you're going to do anything in color, you're going to pay off the ass. The other books, the profit, I think it cost me over $10 if I want to buy it. I had to ask 35 or 40 for just like The Prophet, which has two books in it. They've really gone nuts on their prices.
Oh, wow.
So, Ed, my wife, she can read a book a day, right? She's one of those people. She just sits down, she gets into it, gets it done, absorbs the story. She cries while she's reading it. I'm like, what's going on? Are you okay? She's like, you'll never understand.
She knows how to read, yeah.
She'll be like, you'll never understand the sad thing I just read. Like, I'm in this other world. Leave me alone. If I was trying to break into Ed Green stories, what do I start with?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, the Cicada series is my first one. That took me the longest. It depends on what you like. I've got a sci-fi, a dystopian sci-fi. I've got a crime drama series that deals with androids with real skin.
Oh, wow.
A serial killer named Skinner. Yeah. Delta Dawn. I don't know if you know of Tanya Tucker, the country singer. She had a song called Delta Dawn, so I've got hers. I did a romance, which I never thought I would do. My kids series, some short stories. So it just kind of depends on what you want, because I just write. I don't just do one genre.
I love that.
Don't pigeonhole yourself, Ed. Pigeonhole yourself. No. Shit you want to write.
When I was looking at the list of your books and you said androids with real skin, I didn't even fathom that from reading these titles. That's amazing. Different genres, definitely.
That's really cool.
Yeah. They're all dive. My main one's horror, but I've got so many others in the pipeline at this point that, yeah, I'm just going to cover all genres. I'm one of these, write the story first and then see where it fits. Don't, you know, limit yourself, because there seems to be a lot of people, oh, it might be a good idea, but I ain't writing it because it ain't sci-fi. That's a fucking idiot.
Yeah, absolutely. Write an elf. Write about an elf.
Well, I think, right, people get stuck in their thing.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
This is the thing that makes me...
Right. People expect this from so people need, expect this from me.
I need to write this type of story.
Exactly.
Don't do that to yourself. You got into it when you got into it. Like, why limit yourself to anything?
Absolutely.
That doesn't. Yeah. Write a love story.
It'd be amazing how many do. It's ridiculous how many do. They just will not step out of the genre.
So, Ed.
So, yeah, I think that's just a big screw up.
Hey Ed, this is turning out to be very fascinating. Something that happens on our show, it's very improv in the moment type thing. And what I'm kind of fascinated right now, what was growing up like for you? Like your parents, what was your home life like?
Oh.
And like where was that? Like what kind of house? Is it a cottage? Is it a ranch style house? Like what was
shipping
going
container.
On? Yeah, did you, a shipping container rusted out with 100 other Hondurans? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. No, I grew up in a masonry brick house with no AC or heat in South Texas. Mm-hmm. So the house itself, you'd sweat to death in the summer and you'd freeze in the winter. My home life, I had a stepdad and it was not good.
Was it rough? I also had a stepdad. Rough.
Yeah, mine was a drinker and... I was the step kid, so you know, if anything was anybody's fault, it was me. I was always the one that got disciplined worse. I got kicked out the night of my graduation without my mom knowing.
Did you have siblings that were his kids that you lived with?
Yes.
Yeah, I did that.
My younger brother was hit.
That's a trip, right? Because you do...
Cinderella story.
It takes you a while, at least in my experience. It takes you a while to realize that I am being treated different. You just think that...
I noticed it early.
I had been surprised. One day, they told me, hey, by the way, he's not your actual dad. So it was like I spent this.
You were a teenager.
Yeah, I spent all this time thinking he was my dad.
Yeah.
And then they were like, no, he's not your dad. And I went, oh, that's why things are different.
Yeah, that's why he hates me.
That's wild. No, Nick, I didn't mean to interrupt. But...
Now, Mike turned on me. He turned on me when I was in first grade. And I instantly became a reader. I could read anything you could think of. And I found my birth certificate. And it had my real dad's name on it. And so I went, confronted mom on it as a kid.
Oh, man.
And
you once Sherlock he realized,
it. I knew. Yeah, I sure did. Yeah, and once he realized I knew, it went from being a cool dad to stepdad.
Instantly. Oh, yeah.
It was like a switch. It sucked.
So it was the combination of the fact that you found out that he's not your real dad, and then it was also realizing that he knew you weren't his real son, which kind of put the pieces together that he was treating you probably not like a son. Is that kind of...
Well, you can see it. That's why the question of if he had the siblings, you can see how they're treated when they fuck up.
Yeah.
And then you see how you're treated.
Who's getting yelled at the most? Who's always in trouble? My brother could do nothing wrong, and I love my brother, so I'll get that out there right now. You know, we got a good relationship.
Yeah.
But yeah, growing up, you know, if we both did something bad, who got the whipping? You know, I might have committed the same act he did, but I suffered for it.
Yeah.
And so, it was off. You could tell the difference. And when he would drink, it was even worse.
Oh, God. I'm sorry.
Did that fuel some of your writing?
Oh, yes. It pops up a lot in my writing. My going to church pops up in my writing. The way I'll remember some things that were said to me or things that were said that would fit a character in one of my books really well. So it does. My life does interweave in my books.
I love that.
And that it should. It should because, again, it falls under the write what you know and feelings and like how you feel under these situations where you're like so vulnerable and you're so you can't do anything.
You're doing crab hands.
Powerless. You're powerless. took me that long to think of powerless.
Yeah, it's kind of like Stockholm syndrome. You have to learn how to survive as long as you're under their roof.
Yeah.
And what's important about writing about what you know in your real life is that once you've been around and you've met enough people, there's only like 12 types of people, right? Everyone's kind of on this Venn diagram if we've been through the same stuff. So when you tell your story, people read it and they see themselves in the character.
Oh, of course.
And that's what...
That's how people fall in love with their characters.
I can't write. I'm a dictate, not read type of guy. Like, even when I need to make a list for something, I look at my wife. I walk around in circles saying things out loud while she writes it down. Like, I don't have the patience for it. But you read a story that captivates you and it's that person's story. You see yourself in it. I love it.
Oh yeah.
It's a passion. I was looking you up and seeing when you started writing books, when you published your first book and thinking about, you know, we're getting close to that age as well. And to find that passion. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I had the passion. When I was in high school, my senior year, junior year, I won some contests, and I even got to go compete in Washington, D.C. for a contract when I was about 23. And so, but then life got in the way, and I just put it all down and didn't mess with it again. So, yeah, it wasn't until probably late 30s, early 40s when I realized if I'm going to do this, I better do it now.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no time like the present. Absolutely.
Oh, y'all are definitely, if you like weird and scary shit, you'll like the Cicada series. They do come with a warning, so I'll just throw that out there right now. Don't let your children read it. It's pretty intense, and even when you open the book, I put a giant warning in it. So that way I didn't want to hear any excuses of I didn't know, because yeah, you damn sure did. You had to read it.
you had to at least see the first page, right?
Yes, yeah, that's correct. It's right there. You can't miss it.
So your passion for writing and the experiences that you've had growing up in life, you obviously have to have a creativity about your stories. What made you want to go with the type of genres that you produce? So sci-fi, horror. So what makes a story fall into those categories for you?
When it picks genres, it depends on how much murder or killing or robotics or future events, or let's say my crime drama, Real Skin. You don't think it's a crime drama, but it is, because the cover will throw you off. You know, she's a pretty little mannequin with no clothes. But the stories just pop in my head. I mean, I'll just get this story, and I think, you know, nobody's ever written that. And usually I'll have the beginning and the end, or like my Cicada series. It used to be called Year of the Cicada. Well, I carried that around with me almost 10 years, just the title. I had no clue. But it popped in my head one day, and I'm like, oh, that's it.
You knew there was something to that title, and you just held on to it.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's fascinating. I have similar things. I think of creative things, and I try to hold on to them. When you have these thoughts, do you just write them down immediately?
Actually, I go a little farther than that. I create the book cover. And I save the book cover, and I throw it in my library. That way I can look at it every time and realize there's a story there. Don't forget about it.
So you draw? you draw out the book cover?
I designed all the covers you see on my site are all mine. I designed every one of them.
Oh yeah, that's the way the mind works sometimes. Absolutely. I'm an auditory guy and also a visual guy. I just, when it comes to, and sorry, Ed, I don't get joy out of reading. I like to look at it or hear it.
It's fun. That's cool. My brother, we couldn't even get him to read a comic book. That's how much he hates reading. So. Yeah. I get it.
Are any of your books translated into like things like Audible, just out of curiosity?
Not yet. That's the goal, is I want to do Audible. And there's a number of them I want to put in other languages also, because to help open up, you know, the frontier for other options.
Oh, smart. Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Ed, I actually know a couple voice actors. I'm actually sitting across a table from one whose voice sounds fantastic and probably could read one of these books.
You tell me how much you'll pay me to read your book, and I will read it for you in my sweet, sultry voice. There was a terrible murder.
Cicadas.
Oh, the blood was everywhere.
Oh, yeah. They,
yep.
The bedbugs, ooey, gooey, and chewy.
That's funny.
What is it? I can't remember his name, but he's a serial killer. He was a big, heavyset guy with glasses and a mustache. He's a famous one. And he did Audible books.
Did he really?
He actually read for people.
Oh my God!
Yes,
Mike.
You can find Audible books out there, and he was a serial killer, and that's what he did for money.
Oh, they made that documentary. Is that the same guy that they made the documentary about?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
yes,
okay.
Him.
Yeah. It was like an HBO series or something.
Yeah.
And he was a voice actor who murdered people. That's why his voice acting was so good.
Yes, murder.
I didn't mean to implicate you in all that. I was just trying to say, Mike, you got a great voice. You could read this guy's books.
My voice is so good, I could be a serial murderer.
You know what? That would be a good way to get you into reading. Because you would read it if you got to act it out.
Oh, of course.
You would read it like
a
script.
I read scripts, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I guarantee the Cicada series might scare you. I don't know, though. It depends on how easily you're altered. Most people, once they hit the sheriff of the town and they find out what he's doing for fun, that's usually about it. That's about 80 pages in, and they're like, I couldn't do it.
That's a big spoiler, Ed. You're giving away spoilers on your books.
What's going on with this sheriff?
Can I give it away?
No, don't. Of course not.
No, I didn't mean to lead you in that direction.
Okay. No, don't give it away. I want people to live in intrigue, and then they buy your books.
I do want to know what the sheriff.
He's
doing.
A hard one to get past.
Well, if the sheriff, okay, so the sheriff puts on ladies' clothes and he collects shoes.
Oh, so he's me in my spare time.
We're having fun.
Hey, now I want to see the pictures of the heels.
Oh,
got to see those ankle pictures now.
Just go to my fucking our show's phone number, you know, text messages.
Yeah,
you'll see lots of ankles.
Well, we'll send you a picture of some varicose veined feet in some heels. You can draw it and make it your next book cover.
Your next book cover. Hey everybody, Future Michael here to tell you about our band of the week, Census, like the Census Bureau, except it's just the name of the band. It's just the first part, Census. And this is courtesy of Adventure Cat Records. Thank you, guys. And if you're listening to this episode live on the Monday that it airs, you're in luck because Census is got a couple shows lined up. You could go see them today, Monday, November 27th, at 7 p.m. at Herman's Hideaway in Denver, Colorado. And then on the 29th, Wednesday, at 5 p.m. at Lefty's Live Music in Des Moines, Iowa. And then Thursday, November 30th, you can find them at the Thompson House in Newport, Kentucky at 6:30 p.m. So there you go. We're brought to you by Dungeon Studios, makers of 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons modules. Go to their website, dungeonstudios.co, to grab a module. Play D&D, don't think about it, just get a module that somebody else has already made. It's got all the information in there, you don't have to think about it, and then whatever your party does, you'll have all of the answers all there for you and things to do and stuff. Okay, bye. Ooh, you know what we should do, Jeremy?
What?
We should help Ed, we should inspire Ed to write his next book. Okay, there's this gargoyle, and he's sad.
Wait, a sad gargoyle?
Yeah, it's a sad gargoyle. Okay, so
let me get myself in there.
Sad gargoyle.
What time period
are we talking about? He lost his children.
What time period are we talking about?
The 1960s.
Okay, it's wild, groovy. Okay.
Yeah, so 1960s, there's this gargoyle, and he's lost his children. And then that's how it starts. It goes under, like, him losing his children. It cuts to 2500 in the future.
Okay.
And we have this all these crazy robots and things, and we're on multiple
robot
planets.
Gargoyles?
We're on multiple planets. It's a futuristic society.
Okay.
But these gargoyles wake up, right? Gargoyles.
Yeah,
this is the TV show.
That
Gargoyles.
That wasn't 2500 though. I think it was like
2005. Well, no, it's like super future, but they're baby gargoyles. They don't know what they're supposed to do.
Mike, I think this is a bad.
And they're lost. They're lost in the future.
You know what, Mike? Draw the cover. We'll get back to it later.
I think I'm onto something. There's these gargoyles, and they're babies, and they're trying to find their dad or mom. Their mom or dad, they can't find them. They're orphans. Gargoyles. A crazy scientist.
Is that how gargoyles are born? They have sex, and then there's babies? There's mom and dad gargoyles?
What? No. You don't need to know how they're
made. But you said they have mom and dads.
Yeah, they have a mom and dad.
So...
yeah, there's gargoyles having sex and giving birth to other gargoyles.
I can picture that book cover.
Gargoyle sex. Anyway, so these babies wake up and they're trying to find their way. They can't because their mommy and daddy are long gone. Only ashes by now. And they find this mad scientist, right? And then he's like, I have this agenda. I work for a terrible corporation. I know all the secrets. I need you gargoyles to help me figure it out. And then he employs them. And then the gargoyles... it turns into Mutant Ninja Turtles.
You just said that he knows.
With gargoyle babies.
He goes, I know all things. I need you baby gargoyles to help me figure it out.
Right, because he's only
but
one
he
man.
But he knows all
one,
things.
But no,
but
not
works,
all things.
He's he works, not one man. He works for a corporation.
Right, he works for the company, right? But he knows all the...
I really think we're Stephen Kinging it up right now.
Absolutely not.
I'd rather make it a Stanley Kubrick.
Erotic gargoyles in the future.
Well, eroticism happens in the semi-present, in the 1960s.
I picture a gargoyle like on a sandy beach riding a horse with Fabio hair.
All right, Jeremy, we're on the same page now. Good. I'm glad to see that we're all talking about the same thing.
I'll read a book about gargoyles fucking in the future.
And you don't want to know what the outcome is, Jeremy? There's a nuclear war that happens.
Oh.
And the gargoyle babies are the only ones that live.
Also, they have two penises.
This is like...
Wait, I'm sorry. What was that, Ed?
Also, they have two penises.
They have two. They have two gargoyle penises. One for the left, one for the right.
And the whole society's male all of a sudden. All the females died in the nuclear fallout.
They ate too much corn.
They had too much corn, Dr. Pratt.
I feel like we have something here. Disagree with me.
You know what, Ed? If you make a book that has anything to do with gay gargoyle two penis sex, please shout us out in the foreword. We'll write the foreword for you. We will write the foreword for your next book.
Absolutely.
Well, I do have three more bedbug books to do, and you know, kids got to grow up kind of quick these days, so it just might make it.
Well, I mean, today's schools, they might allow that in the library.
Penis gargoyle impregnated two different gargoyle ladies, and then the two brothers, they knew that they were brothers, but it turns out that they're step gargoyle brothers. And they didn't know that.
So they can see each other.
Mike, you should draw a book cover to this series and send it to Ed and see what Mr. Greenman.
The Greenman.
Is it Green Man or Greenman?
It's Green Man.
I said Greenman.
Green Man.
Green Man.
The Green Man.
Ah.
The worst superhero ever.
Green Man.
It's like Captain Planet.
I'm Green Man.
No, I think that you're onto something, Mike. You want to make this dream come true.
I'm giving all of this IP to Ed. Well, do with it as you will.
I think you should give him a
rough sketch.
I
feel like I've inspired you to write this wonderful story.
Two dicked gargoyles.
I just have to. It sounds quite interesting the longer I think of it.
Well, you came up with the two dick gargoyles, you guys, and I came up with a good story. I never said two dicks.
It was Ed's joke. You created
Ed said
mind.
Two dicks. And I was like, okay, well, that's where you're going with my story. I understand. Yeah, every artist has their own path, right? They get to the...
And all because they're eating corn.
Yes, correct. Oh, man.
Every time we talk to another person after we've talked to Dr. Brad, I want to introduce them to Dr. Brad. He's the one who told... He's a legit doctor.
Of course you do, Jeremy.
He told us that the sexual identity crisis is because of corn.
He did say that.
Do they eat corn like the parents did on South Park where they started eating from the other end?
Possibly, Ed. Possibly. Who knows? Science is
that
a weird thing.
That
yeah, it does make it better.
I guess you could take, if you do expand out this gargoyle idea, gargoyle, that's how I pronounce it.
Gargoyle.
Yeah, it's gargoyle. It's not
your
a gargoyle.
Jewishness
it's
is coming out.
It's a gargoyle. I'm thinking now. I'm producing in my mind.
It's a garmoil.
It's a garmoil.
Garmoil.
Does he raise his hands and do the two fingers salute on each one when he's like, you know, quote something?
Two penises. Hey, luckily we have a 2-for-1 special. Hey. I'm the garmoil.
Wait, but they do the moils like the old school. So he's like, come over here. Let me see that schmeckle. I'll take a little bite. Let me get a little nibble of that.
Oh, my God. No, Jeremy.
Spit the little blood out. Got a little Jewish pecker.
Oh, God, Jeremy.
That's how they did it back in the day, Mike.
With their teeth?
Yeah, you know, it got stopped because Moyle gave a baby herpes because he had herpes and he bit the little penis off in the Moyle. You know that story?
Oh, God.
Yeah, Jeremy. He was like, come here, give me that little schmeckle.
Oh, my God, Jeremy.
Spit it out.
That's a horror movie. Hey, we're inspiring you. We're inspiring Ed here
you
with
do
horror.
That with gargoyles,
horror
Ed.
Movies and futuristic gothic novels.
The Ed gets accused of portraying Jews as gargoyles in books.
I'll have to throw that in there. That's where the rubber band idea came from. After you spit it out,
it kind of bounced. I'm just tie it off.
Let it. Nature will do its part. You could do it at home. That's $20 for the phone call.
Do it yourself. It's a DIY. DIY.
Yeah,
circumcision.
Little Timmy down the street's teething. He'll take care of it.
I wonder if that's why Jewish penises look so weird for so long, because they nibbled off the foreskin instead of cutting it with a knife. So their dick skin had the pattern of the Moyle's teeth. It's
oh,
their
God.
Teeth print.
Oh, my God.
I just thought about that just now.
Oh, God, forensic evidence. Who was your Moyle?
Write a book about that.
That's funny. I like that.
Ed, you're a fun guy. I think people should know that.
I can be fun.
So, like, my favorite authors growing up, you know, all I have is the picture of him on the back with a little description, right?
Tolkien.
You know, I didn't know anything about him until I got older and I had the internet. And I could research, you know, World War One. Oh, wow, Tolkien was amazing. Like, oh, crazy. When you just read the back, but in a medium like this, we get to talk to you, have fun, laugh.
Yeah.
You get to hear the author of these books be a real person.
Yeah. Hang out. Talk about double gargoyle
dicks. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's right.
Mutated gargoyle dicks.
With their penises chewed off.
It would be funny. You said the year 2500, these gargoyles have adopted Judaism.
They come from a long line of garmoils.
Garmoils, yeah, the garmoils. Just on their perch with little yarmulkes, little stone yarmulkes.
Oh, man.
Well, as a fashion statement, when they chew off the end, they're... the foreskin, they'll give it to mother so she can use it as a hair braid.
Oh, God.
We give you full permission to use this entire story we've created, Ed.
Absolutely. This is all your IP.
We will help sponsor the publishing of this book if you write it. I swear to God, I will find a way.
Well, we will read it on our podcast.
Well, actually, you know what? We have access to voice actors. We'll turn it into a screenplay and we'll act it out.
Oh,
we could
yeah.
do a play based off the book.
We could do that.
Oh, my God. This is amazing.
So who's getting their foreskin chewed off? Because I'm not going to volunteer for that one.
Well, that's Jeremy.
I'll do the voice.
Well, it's Jeremy because Jeremy still has his foreskin.
And I'm Jewish. Those Jews, all of our listeners in Israel, which there's a lot for some reason.
Yeah.
They'll be happy to know that I will finally be circumcised via screenplay based off a book written by the world-renowned author Ed Green.
Well, you're not alone. I'm Jewish and uncircumcised too, so
hey! Hey!
I wish I had a button to play Hanukkah, oh Hanukkah, band.
There you go.
me and Ed just both took our headphones off and danced the horror. Come over here. Let me get a little nibble on the. Oh, a little cute little baby. What's his name? Jeremiah?
Oh, God. Jeremy and Ed are biting each other's dicks. Oh, God.
Don't worry. I'm a professional.
This is the worst 69 I've ever seen.
Come here. Let me toot on that thing.
There's so much blood.
That look at his schmeckle. It looks like a clarinet.
Oh, the schmegma.
Yeah, don't forget to dip it in the hummus.
Oh, God.
It's about the size of my elbow. I'm going to call it an oboe.
Oh, God.
You ever see the video where the Orthodox are having the big wedding? And they're all like, you got like 200 Orthodox men bouncing in the wedding hall. And the whole floor collapses. It's just like, holy shit!
It was bound to happen.
Yeah, they blame it on the goyim. It was the goyim's fault. You know, he shouldn't have been here.
Who made this floor? The Mexicans? Ugh.
Jeremy, there's a joke that I want to bring up that you and I made off air. And okay. I want to bring it to life because it was so good.
What is it?
So we were talking about your hair and your beard. And then you had made a joke that you're fat Jesus.
I do look like chubby Jesus.
And so my response was, not Jesus, it was... you're Jesus from the Quran.
Yeah. I'm not the son of God, but I am a prophet. But I did exist. I'm a dude. That's exactly what
and
I look
would,
like.
You would build shit occasionally and shout at people.
Yeah. Like, some people would be like, you might be like Jesus' stepbrother. But no, it's you're right. It's Jesus from the Quran. Is the perfect description. Blue-eyed, Arabic. Arabic, blue-eyed Arabic Jesus.
So during the Feast of Booth, do you go over to your in-laws and go live out in the front yard?
It's Sukkot all the time.
I'm your papa.
No, it's more like I'm turning all the water.
No shitting on the lawn.
I'm turning all the water into wine so I can drink it.
Right. Hey, no, this is my wine, guys. Hey, you know, no, this is my fish. Okay.
Yeah,
this is my fish. Go get your own. You know what? You should learn how to fish because this fish is my fish.
I had one loaf of bread and one fish, and then someone walked by and I was like, this isn't enough. So I multiplied it for myself, but someone saw me do it, so I had to give him some. So they don't tell anybody. Like, okay, you can have some of this fish.
That's really funny.
I love that. Jesus from the Quran. That made me laugh so hard. It's a good joke.
It's a great joke.
That's a good joke.
Thank you.
Jesus from the Quran.
I'm working on my type five.
Are you getting a type five ready?
I'm trying.
I've been trying to write a little thing to see if I could do an open mic. I thought that'd be cool for us to do
I would
together.
Love to do an open mic.
We should do it together.
Oh, I'd be terrified. I get terrible stage fright.
Well, then maybe you should write. You should write my stand-up, because I don't get stage fright. You should be my ghostwriter, like Millie Vanilli.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just lip-sync your words on stage with personality.
Perfect. I got you.
Ed, have you ever thought about being a ghostwriter for a wannabe 30-year-old comedian?
Yeah, maybe. You never know. Alcohol can do wonders.
That's right.
Throw in some edibles and we're all good.
Jeremy, a pound of weed would last me to the rest of my life.
You saw what I had at one point.
I did.
It lasted like a couple months.
Jesus.
It's just gone.
I was going to say, you poor guy. You should do it before the show, man.
No, you no.
Know, let's see where it goes after that.
Oh, no, actually, we did an episode.
Yeah, we did. getting high with true crime, and I had to be blazed the entire episode, because that's what they do. It was horrible. It was horrible. I hated it.
Mike was like, I'm just one person in a big universe, and I'm so small, and I'm going to die one day. He's just melting down inside of his head. I saw it.
Okay. Did he see Smurfs?
Oh, no. Nope. Not, it wasn't that Smurfs? Bad. I mean, have I seen the movie? We'll see, I have a 7-year-old daughter. Of course I've seen the Smurfs.
I've seen Smurf porn online.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's Rule 64, dude. It exists.
Of course it does.
It's out there.
You should watch it with clowns. Midget clowns.
No, thank you.
It's, what are you, I know you're an author, Ed Green, but are you also a psychic?
Midget clowns is awesome.
I love midget clown porn. This is the best. This dude rules.
Oh, God.
The best thing about midget porn is their weird foreheads. When they're like... It's being slammed against the headboard. But you know the headboard's taking more damage.
Oh.
Maybe I should have had this ready.
Yeah, probably. Probably. But it is what it is. So
I'm looking forward to this gargoyle book.
So Ed, is there any projects that you're currently working on that you might want to tease? other than Garmoyles.
Garmoyle, return of the circumcision. Garmoyle, Mazel Tov.
Yeah, I got one book I'm working on now. It's 70x7.
Ooh.
And then after this one, it's going to be pink. And that one's about rats. Ooh. 70x7, a gal that was abused sexually and by her mother her whole life, decides her mom's in hell. And so she ends up killing herself with a friend. They commit suicide with each other. And then she's going to go through hell because she got saved. So she's not going to be able to stay there. She believes she can go in and get her mom and drag her mom out to save her. So
hell.
That's what 70x7 is.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that
and
a
she
lot.
Just, yeah. So what she doesn't realize is part of it is every time you show any kind of an emotional outburst like fear or anything, she has to instantly start all over at the beginning of that pathway. Ooh. With no memory of how far she had already made it ahead of time.
Oh.
So, yeah, she might not make it 3 steps and have to start over again and then start over again, but she has no idea each time it's the first time.
She can't even get scared about the monstrosities of hell.
Yeah.
No, she can't show any kind of emotion.
So technically, in theory, she could have been there for millions of years.
Well, I can't go too much into that.
Yeah, now we're, oh, okay. now we're writing the book.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Me and you are writing the book out loud now.
Understood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pink is the one everybody's going for.
Pink is.
Ed, I have a very special question for you that I need answered.
Oh, is this our famous show question?
I'm praying on you right now, buddy. Praying on you.
I feel good about
and
this.
And I will not, I'm going to ask it deadpan, but Ed, who is better, Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone for your own reasons?
Oh, wow. I grew up with them both, but I'm going to sound like Arnold better. I mean, they each have their... things, but I guess I'm more prone to Arnold because I liked his.
Yes!
I was more into his movies, even though I was,
Mike.
Yeah, even though I saw Rambo and all that. You open Terminator, and I'm fucking there. I will watch every Terminator after the other one.
Oh, thank God,
Mike.
I love you, Ed.
Do the rules still apply, Mike? Am I allowed?
I mean, you can, but you're going to say the same thing you've said over and over again.
I know.
Our
listeners
are
know what I'm going to say.
But the point is, Jeremy. He's explained why he's chosen Schwarzenegger, and that's really the most important thing.
That
how many people do I desperately try to sway? Zero.
Because you don't have an argument.
I also, Jeremy, I'm pretty much tied with you, and I don't need to. That's the thing.
right.
I don't well, need to funny. Convince people.
A Jew just... thinks he's going to sway a Jew.
Listen, Ed. Ed, I'm just trying to talk
to you. He's going to try and Jew me down. He's going to try and Jew me down.
Yeah, of course he is. That's what he does. And Michael doesn't do that.
Mr. Greenman, if I could talk to you for a second. I mean, Rocky Balboa.
Terminator.
Rocky Balboa, what an inspirational story written by Sylvester Stallone.
Twins.
And acted by
Last Action Sylvester. Hero.
We know the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
And you're going to say the same thing that you've been saying, too.
I give him props. That's what I was actually going to say, was I give him props because he had to do it on his own. And what really is heartbreaking was he sold his dog to do it.
He did.
And so I give, yes, and thank God the guy sold it back to him. He sold it for an arm and a leg back to him.
Isn't that butt kiss? Back. Isn't that butt kiss from Rocky? He's in the movie. The dog.
I don't know if it was because I know that I read an article where he's interviewed and he didn't get the dog back until after Rocky was successful and he had the money to buy it.
Wow.
So what a hero. Don't think that was his in the movie.
But
what a hero. You know, and everyone loves Rambo, and he also wrote Rambo. He was thinking about the Vietnam vets, and he wrote a whole movie for him.
All right. So he went with Schwarzenegger, and that's all we need to
know. I'm just saying, if he wanted to maybe possibly change, he never thought about it from that angle.
All right. So, Ed, it's about that time. We're going to let you go. So how can people find your books?
Just Google EA Green / The Green Man. It's that simple.
Okay.
And you will find 20, 30 links to all my social media, my videos, links, book links. It's all there.
Awesome.
My blog, it'll connect to the blog, all that.
You said EA/ The Green Man.
No, EA Green / The Green Man.
EA Green, The Green Man /
Put those together and they'll be able to Google me and you'll find me easily.
EA Green / The Green Man.
Awesome. That's it.
There we go. So check them out, guys. Thank you so much, Ed, for joining us today. We very much appreciate you.
You're welcome, man. I had a blast, guys.
Well, we're glad.
Thanks for playing with us.
Absolutely. You have yourself a good rest of your night.
You guys also. We'll hopefully talk to you later.
All right. Sounds good. We are Majizipod, MJSYPOD on all the things. You can find us on all the social medias. Make sure you check and subscribe to all of our social medias because we're hiding clues to a buried treasure which contains gold, silver, diamonds, and the legendary Blackbeard's dildo. This is a treasure you can find. If you follow the clues and you do it and you can find it. And uncover the treasure, and then you keep it, and then you can come on the show once you do that. It's
that
very
guy was
exciting.
Pretty cool.
Ed was great.
I like that guy.
Ed was awesome.
He was funny, down to earth.
He was.
I bet his books are good. I think people should check him out. I think I'm going to check it out.
I really do. I honestly do.
He has some good ideas.
He did.
What he was saying about all that fucking shit, that's wild.
What?
Where did he come up with that?
What are you talking about?
He's androids with real skin.
Oh, he's bananas.
He had the last one he was talking about. Mind blowing. I can't wait.
I can't wait for Garmoils.
Dude, if he doesn't do it, we should. Garmoils is a good idea. Jewish gargoyles that survived to the year 2500 when everyone's androids.
The gargoyles are coming for you.
But the gargoyles, they're going to save mankind, right? Because they're under attack from the androids. The gargoyles come back to life, but they have two dicks now. Because of the nuclear fallout that happened. But the nuclear fallout probably happened while they were still statues.
They
were irradiated statue babies.
They were babies.
And then they grew two stone dicks, but then they became flesh again. And then they helped save mankind.
Anyway.
With yarmulkes.
We have, if you want to send your music, we love to support your band. So send your music to Ujay, UHJYEAH at Majizipod, MJSYPOD.com. And we have another channel. It is Michael and Jeremy Steal Your Podcast Supreme, where you can listen to the interviews that we conduct with the shows that we steal. The showrunners for the shows that we have on, we talk to them about their show, and then we just shoot the shit. Sometimes we talk about, like, crazy stuff. Check it out. And you can look at that on Spotify at Michael and Jeremy Steal Your Podcast Supreme. Link your Patreon page with Spotify and gain access to those all in one place. But if you like Patreon, it's patreon.com/Majizzypod.
It's fun because we start talking to them about their life and then we just talk about nothing important at all.
And then we come up with crazy things like gargoyles.
And then we get them to say their real point of views about things. And which
if you want to hear about more of what people are saying about Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone, we ask all of the showrunners the same question. So if you want to hear about how many Schwarzeneggers versus how many Stallones, go to our Patreon and start cataloging.
If someone made a tally, that'd be real nice.
It would be really nice. We're not going to do it.
I think I'm winning, though.
I honestly don't think so.
I think I'm like 30 ahead.
Impossible, Jeremy. Impossible.
30 to 35.
Luckily, you created the question. It's so evenly matched.
It's such an evenly
matched question, that Jeremy. That I'm pretty sure that like I'm just ahead of you by a hair.
You know, we could probably steal taste buds where they argue on a specific thing, and we could use it as our question. And we could steal that super famous podcast. And maybe get Sal Volcano and Joe DeRosa involved.
Joe DeRosa.
Sal Volcano from the Impractical Jokers.
Oh, yeah.
Podcast where they argue about things.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying something about Joe Rogan, but you said his name wrong.
Nope.
Okay.
Joe DeRosa is a famous comedian.
Joe DeRosa.
He's a very famous comedian. Check him out. He's on tour or something. I don't know. Shout out.
Anyway.
He makes delicious sandwiches in
New York. We have a phone number. It's 903-287-0660. You can text or leave a voicemail to that phone number, and we'll play it on the show. But please, you got to fucking call it in order to do that.
Please leave a voicemail.
Leave a voicemail.
It doesn't matter what it is. We'll play it. We're uncensored.
Is there anything else, Jeremy?
Say whatever you want.
I love you.
I love you too, buddy.
Because baby, you'll always win and bye. You'll always disagree. And you'll always have my heart, cause you took that part of me. I'll live under your shoes, it's nothing new. I hope you're wishing you never walked away. And it's the hardest thing to laugh and sing and chase my dreams, but I miss you every day. Why couldn't you safe and sound? Cause all your bullshit never did sit well with me. I thought I'd be happy now, but I guess I found out that when you're hurting, well, you're really hurting me. Whoa. Cause when you're hurting, well, you're really hurting me. I thought I'd be happy now, but I'll be safe and sound.
Dude, this is the highest score I've ever had on a Hercules game, ever. I've been trying to hit this high score for so long.
So Mike, there he is!
Oh, yep.
He's over there by the Hercules machine.
Artie!
Oh, you guys again. How'd you find me?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're playing Hercules pinball? That's my favorite.
Dude, you see the high score on there?
Wow.
That's me.
That's you?
That's me, J-E-W.
Jeremy, it says the high score is 15.
Well,
what is it?
It's a pretty tough pinball game.
Dude, it's hard.
Yeah, I've never played it, okay? I'm so sorry. Anyway, Artie, we're done ravaging your podcast, and you can have it back. We figured we'd just meet you at the Dave & Buster's. It's been 2 days, so you haven't come back to the house yet, so I figured we would just meet you here and give you your podcast back, because we got stuff to do.
You guys want chicken wings?
I need you to get your dad back on the show, Jeremy. So can you set that up?
Yeah, if I had his number, Artie.
I have his number.
I don't even have his number. Mike does.
I literally have Kevin Sorbo's number. I can't give it to you, though, unfortunately.
It's a humble brag, but he doesn't even answer your phone calls.
I know, right? The humble brag is I know what his phone number is. That's it. Anyway, we had a lot of fun. We had an author on. He told us about his weird books.
Yeah, this guy, he writes horror books. Here's a big giveaway. One of his influences, Stephen King.
Oh, yeah. It's,
you don't talk a lot, Artie. It's funny. You know, you have a podcast. You don't talk that much.
I'm used to asking questions.
Ask me a question, Artie.
Anything. Ask him about the divorce. Guys,
what? Tell me about the divorce.
Run away! Run away!
Time. Have you ever read it?
Wheel of Time. A book? I've never heard of it.
Yeah, don't read it. Fucking read the first half of the first chapter. It sucks.
Isn't that the one where it's like a fantasy land, but it's like you look at the map that's on the back of the book and it's Florida?
I don't know. Jeff was really sad and he had to escape to his fantasy book world. Yeah, he wanted us all to read it too, and it sucked. So,
and then the they had that that company almost lost the rights to the IP to make a movie, so they made that shitty garbage movie
on
with
the Amazon or something.
Oh, is what's his name? Not the Mummy, because
Mumford and Sons.
We did this last time. Remember, yeah. It was the guy that plays the Phantom.
Alec Baldwin.
No. Oh my God! What's his fucking name? Bald guy. He was the Phantom. I thought he was the Mummy in the Mummy, but then we got that wrong.
The Phantom. What are you talking about? The Phantom. That's Phantom. With Alec Baldwin.
Billy Zane.
Billy Zane.
Billy Zane.
Oh, from Titanic.
Yeah. So yeah. Billy Zane was in the shitty version of Wheel of Time, and then they did like this tiny little thing just so they could extend the rights since they used it, and then they came out with the new, what was it, HBO? No, Stars. I think it's a Stars show. Anyway, Artie, welcome.
Thank you. Are you guys, one of you guys a producer?
I'm the producer.
Okay, makes sense. Nice.
Wait, why does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense, Jeremy.
I can edit. I can show
that radio voice.
You couldn't do either one of those.
That radio voice.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, the fucking voice. Here we go.
I'm a professional. I'm not even wearing pants right now.